Okay, good morning everybody. Here we are, Parshas Va'era. So, we know the central event in this week's Parsha is the punishment of Paro, all the exciting markets that take place, dogs, barlea, kinim, etc. I'd like to look at one particular detail that the Parsha portion brings up. It took place during the Makkah of the Tzardim, of the frog. So we know what happens each time. The Makkah comes and then Paro begs Moshe Rabbeinu to get rid of it, and Moshe Rabbeinu gets rid of it, and he changes his mind. But then in the Potus, Vayikra Paro, Lemoshe Laharim. So after these frogs have been jumping around in the shrine for a few days, so Paro calls Moshe Laharim and he says, Hatira Hashem, dumb to me, pray to Hashem, for Yasser HaStarman, that he should remove these frogs with many, may Ami, for me and for my people. I will send away the people, the Yizuk with Hashem, that they should sacrifice to Hashem. Okay, so that's his request. If you took him down the line, the Torah records the Moshe Rabbeinu did, as he was requested. But yet, Moshe Ba'arim in Pari, Moshe and Aaron leave Pari. But Yitzhak Moshe Hashem, and Moshe called out to Hashem, as Vardim Hashem Tom Latar. Now, if we'll take note of the wording used, we will see that in the request of Paro, the Lashon of Tefillah used was Hatiru El Hashem. It's a form of strong entreaty, Hatiru El Hashem. But when Moshe Rabbeinu done, the term Vayitzak is used. Hatiru means to, we would normally say in English, entreat. It means like a very sort of strong form of request. Atara, like the name Atara. No, Atara, the name Atara is with a text, like in fact, sort of crack Atara. When Moshe Rabbeinu actually done, the term used is Vayitzak. Moshe Rabbeinu called out. And in fact, we won't find this term Vayitzak used anywhere else within the context of Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillahs for the Makkos in Mitzrayim. We won't ever find this term used Vayitzak except over here. Vayitzak Moshe Al Hashem, Moshe. What Vayitzak mean? Vayitzak normally used to denote calling out in a loud voice, for Ocker, to sort of cry out, to shout out. So this question of the change of Lashon is raised by the Tzitzei Chacham. I put it on the sheet. Makshim Ha'olam. The Olam asks, people ask, Lama Shina HaKotu? It's part of it. Just as an aside, Makshim Ha'olam. This phrase, Makshim Ha'olam. So you see, used quite commonly in the portion, Makshim Ha'olam. The Olam asks. The world asks. The Maharam at the back of the Gemara very commonly uses this term, Makshim Ha'olam. The world asks. So they ask the question, you know, Makshim Ha'olam. The world asks. Who's the world? And then you go out to the marketplace and you won't see the world asking this question. So we see that, you know, this is the world. You know, this Taladamas of the growth. Here we are. This is the center point of the world. This is the world. That's where the question is asked, and this is it. Anyway, that's on the side. So he says, so they ask a question. Lama Shina HaKotu Bitzfardin Vayitzhak Moshe Al Hashem. Vishar Maki Tziv Vayitzhak Moshe Al Hashem. Moshe entreated Hashem. Only over here, we find this term, Tzokot, used. So why over here is there a sudden change in term? Oh, this is Tzitzei Chacham. V'yesh Lano. So you can set the teret.
So here we're saying that
over here the term Tzokot is used. Vayitzhak Moshe Al Hashem.
So
first of all, Paro didn't use that term.
He used that term this time.
Paro did.
And Moshe used that term for all the other ones.
No, again, the other way around. Over here, when we speak about the actual filler of Moshe Rabbeinu, we find a term used that isn't used anywhere else. Just to keep it simple.
Right. But,
right.
But
that's
but
the question.
In this case, it was. Paro used the term Hatira, which.
No. The question is not on the Hatira. The question is on the Vayitzak. Vayitzak is not used anywhere else. It's also not used in the request of Paro over here. It's also not used anywhere else in the whole story.
But
it's Palil, Hatiru, Vayitzak. This term Vayitzak It says keep his way forward and simple. This term by Yitzhak is not used elsewhere. Only used here.
It seems to work together with the fact that the Paro said to Hatir. Why did you have to say Yisrael request? Here's the one place that Moshe Rabbeinu signed. Yes, it doesn't even here. The Torah says that the Paro uses that.
No, but that term Hatir is used in other places. There's a question why and when it's used, but it is used in other places. It's not unique in the fact that it's only used over here. But Yitzhak is unique, it's only used here. So he asks this question. So he says the text, that's not the text, it's the possible chat, it's the sort of remez, but it opens up for us a halachic area that I'd like to look into. So he answers the following text. V'yesh loyma, mishum dam, we know, there is a well-known hamispalim, vadu dam, tori la'shmiya la'oznov, ma'ashem moitzi mepit. He has to hear what he is saying. That we know, even in Shmuel Efe, let's say, when we daven quietly, but there's a shiur. How quietly should you daven? Shouldn't daven so quietly that even you yourself can't hear? You yourself should be able to hear your tefillah. We daven quietly, not that there are other people around you shouldn't hear, but you yourself have to be able to hear.
But we
said we're going to form Kana. We're going to look at the sugi in a minute.
Okay.
So, okay, it's the Jeru. One thing that sorry, but the other also much makes in the peace. We can, how you have Spardin 30, where you caught the Rashi the Tzomach. The whole of the tribe was full with these Spardin, and they were all quacking, and once they were doing it all together, there was tremendous noise. The Hitzrich Lahorim Koilo Vit Filosai. So, Moshe Rabbeinu had to raise his voice in Tfilah. Today, she has Shmira Lahorim Vit Filosai. There was such a racket from all these Spardin jumping around and making their noises. Now Moshe Rabbeinu, in order to hear his filler, had to raise his voice. Because there is such a halacha that when one doubles, one has to hear what one is saying. In order to fulfill that, Moshe Rabbeinu had to raise his voice.
Well, that's another case where he has to go away,
though. That's something else. That's another question that needs to be discussed. Sometimes it's written he went out of the city, sometimes not. Because there Rashi says, because he didn't want to daven in the town, because there was a bit of Zoros, so why is only in that makom? What's different to get all these discussions? So, I'd like to look a little more into this sugya. Where does this come from? Is it the mother, etc.? So, this concept of how loud should one's tefillah be is spoken about twice in the Gemara Brachos. So, let's look at the two Gemaras. One place the Gemara says, Brachos Tzav Talos, Chabad Shemiya Kolo Yitzvilofe. One who makes his voice heard in his tefillah, the people around him can hear, and raise their miktane amon. It's considered like a sort of lack of emunah. Before she says, sort of kinnily shows that, sort of, I guess, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't hear his whispered prayer, you've got to shout. Over here. That which we say that one shouldn't raise one's voice at all is if one's able to concentrate with doubling quietly. If he is unable to concentrate when doubling quietly, then he's allowed to raise his voice. But it's all true when he's doubling on his own, he's not doubling with a tibur. Our tibur. If he's davening with a tzibur, ofi lemitrad tzibura. So then, there's a different issue. There's a concern that he's going to distract the tzibur, distract other people around him from davening. So in principle,
does the Torah mean?
The ofi lemitrad tzibura is going to disturb, tirda, like to, yeah, to trouble the people around him. So in principle, we don't daven loudly, it's considered a type of historian and Buddha. But if you're doing it in order to be able to concentrate, so obviously then there's no tzitzarim in a mudra. So it's a particular purpose. But if it's going to disturb those around you, then you can't.
And if it's with the tzitzar hachamim, right? There was a lot of quacking, so we have to kind of go directly to concentrate.
Right, so I suppose it follows the same theme as this Gemara. Those Gemara don't mention this particular case. But we see from the Gemara that any case where a particular tzitzar arises that you need to, because otherwise you're not going to be able to hear yourself or whatever, so then all that is muttered. another place where this is mentioned, and as we said before, the Gemara learned it from Kana. A few dafim later in the Gemara. Amar Rav Hanuna, the Gemara says on Daf Lamed Aleph, Amar Rav Hanuna, Kama Hilchos to Gevurta, Ikar Mishnah, Mehani Kroy the Kana. Now, a lot of important halachos that we can learn from the Tefillah of Kana. The Gemara mentions a few, let's skip to the last point, towards the end of the second line. The koila lo yishomea, her voice was not heard. Nikan she osu la biya koila b'tfilote. And here we learn that one should not raise one's voice in tefillah.
It's from Kana, but she was silent.
Well, we don't know, it doesn't say clearly how silent she was. Koila lo yishomea, it says her voice wasn't heard. So it's true, in fact, these Gemaras don't say clearly how quiet it should be. That's exactly the next thing I want to look at. It just says that it shouldn't be heard. What does it mean exactly? It shouldn't be heard. To whom should it not be heard? So we know clearly that Ailey didn't hear it. Did she yet hear it? We don't know. It sounds like it was a chiddush.
Yeah, okay. It's just something new.
I saw somebody talk about that point. I don't remember exactly what he said, but okay. So the Rashba over here comes and explains a little further. We can't call the Lord Shomer. We learn that from Chama. We can't live in balance. Shloya Shvia call it bitfilato, not to raise one's voice. Mistah. It appears to me it's logical, says the Rashba, to lo yashmiya, this term, but shouldn't make one's voice heard, lo yashmiya la'achem, but shouldn't make one's voice heard to other people. To lo yash lo yoma b'kro. One shouldn't say it in a voice that others hear, because it's tanya le'eru heri mishavei, so. Like we said earlier, kol ha'mashmiya kolo b'tfilotoi, ha'reze b'ktani amon. Ava la'ashmiya la'odloi, but that oneself should hear. Rashai, first of all, says the Rashba, it is permitted, one shouldn't think it's included in what the Gemara says, one not to hear, it means that others shouldn't hear, but you yourself can hear. Furthermore, says the Rashba, not only is it permitted, we mitzvah lechatchile, in fact, it is a mitzvah lechatchile. Rukhila, I'm going to be Yerushalmi. Now, when you approve, says the Rashba, from Yerushalmi. Nispalil v'lo yishmiya lo odnoi, yotzah. Yerushalmi says the following thing, if somebody doesn't, but lo yishmiya lo odnei, he didn't hear at all, even he himself didn't hear, says the Yerushalmi, yotzah, he's Yerushalmi. The Alma, exactly so. The Alma, but the Emet with the yotzah, the Mashmoth of Yerushalmi is, that he has fulfilled the obligation, but the Emet, for the Chachilah, but the Chachilah, sorry for yishmiya lo odnei. One should actually hear one's own tefillah. So this is how we come out with what we know as the halacha lemaisa. On one hand, the Gemara is saying the tefillah shouldn't be heard, and the Rashba is explaining with the background of the Yerushalmi that means to say others shouldn't hear it, but a person himself should hear his own tefillah. So that's basically what we come out with in the Shulchan Aruch. Let's read it over. Says the Shulchan Aruch over here, lo yispalil b'livo in the sab, one shouldn't daven only in one's heart without speech, and lo kafich hadvorim mitzvotos, one speaks out using one's mouth, umashmiya lo ozov belachash ativoyi, where one oneself can hear, but lo yashmiya koyle, but one should not raise one's voice more than that, but v'in eile yochel lechavim belachash, mutalachia koyle, if it's in order to enable kavona, one can raise the voice more, but as we saw in the earlier Gemara, this is all private. And for the tibur of the tibur is forbidden to raise one's voice more than the level that one can hear oneself. So often the mitzvah tibur of, because the tibur will be disturbed. So let's look a little now. What tefillah exactly are we referring to when we're speaking over here? There's different sections of tefillah. There's Shemir Esrei. There's other parts of tefillah. So we'll see if we just even mention maybe an Eli Rabba, one of the earliest points here. Says Eli Rabba, Kol zeh b'tefillah yudchet b'lach. This whole halacha applies to the Shemayna Esrei, so the silent Shemayna Esrei. Now we'll learn here, we call Ibu HaRofi, Rebbe's land, in these areas, if you're using the Hayyotze by in other parts of Tfilah, Shemaghim Kolom the Turk in the Kolom, that they raise the voice and they shout very loud. Acha Nochri Mal Igimalde, the Gentiles walking past the shul, they put fun of it, what are they going on? The Jews shouting there in their synagogue. And I was always troubled about this. Lo darach le'ayin bol zeh minhag. So where does this come, this minhag, in other parts of the tefillah, to raise the voice very loud? Ki v'tchon shel Yisrael Torah. For surely the minhag of Yisrael is Torah. It's a great thing. So where does this come from?
What does that mean? What is
the shouting of the Yisrael Torah? In other words, he thought this was a dumb thing around, that in other parts of tefillah, people duck and raise their voice. And he wanted to know what's the source for this practice. And he didn't want to say, you know, I'm Israel just making a mistake, or there's no source, or surely when he kept his minhag, I'm Israel has got a good source, has got a good reason. Ah, Shehir Hashem is Eina. Until Hashem opened my eyes, for all easy. And I found that the Ramban, or it is the Ramban, says Parshas Bo, Shechotah B'zeh HaLoshah. The Kavonah Reimus HaKol B'Tfilah. The purpose of raising our voice in Tfilah. Then the Ramban continues to say something, whatever he says. And he continues and says, Kwe Shechotah Rabbi Tein Uzzah, Vayikre Lelekim B'Chodko, they called out to Hashem B'Chodko, like this, sort of, I suppose, forcefully, I can't think of a better English word. Mikad Atalami, Shet Philip three chokot, says the Ramban. So here we learn that Philip needs to raise his voice. So there is a source for raising the voice. So what's the answer? In other words, here we see that one does raise the voice, and Chazal are telling us not to raise the voice. But there it is. And then Shmuel Esrei, and there are other parts of Philip. So Shmuel Esrei is quiet. Other parts of Philip. That would be what the Ramban is saying. That Philip three chokot. Shema, for example, to the Arabia. Nevertheless, having said that, the Mishnah Berurah does not seem to recommend raising one's voice too much. And in these halachas, where it's spoken about Shemini Esra being quiet, he says, "V'afidu mitzuki to zimra toy shelo lahorim koil." It's better not to raise one's voice, i.e., to very loud. Kodesh Baruch Hu Shemeh Balat. Kodesh Baruch Hu can hear the silent tefillah as well. Not like those who raise their voice more than is called. There's a cousin in the front. He's saying Pesukim Zimra loudly for everybody to follow along or something. That's fine. Okay, a few other details of these halachas. This is how it used to be a cousin.
Yeah.
There's a different way of doing this. Now, let's just look at another detail. When we say what Ted should say loud enough that you can hear. So what about the people who are very, very close by to you? So the Mishnah Berurah says, "I'm the Gurkha Yosef of the Chai of them." So the Chachiva authority is Talal of the Lachash Kol Kach. Sha'af Chaveiroi Ha'oimit B'tzomot Lo Yeh Yuchal Lishmai. One should do it at such a volume, a little bit of a fine thing, this one should do it at such a volume that you can hear, but even some people standing very close by cannot hear. When we call Mokwe, nevertheless, Yeshua is a Chavim Be'inyin Zeh, if one cannot manage to be Mechavim. When one doesn't have such a volume, it's been allowed to be in Chiyotah Lechavi, to raise one's voice a little bit. You know, maybe the person just next door could hear. You know. One could do that. Actually, Yisrael Yashid Lachem, provided it's not bothering the people around you.
I think that if you
don't really
quite loud.
Yeah, the Achilles, you could louder if it's for the sake of facilitating Kavon. The Shulchan Aruch Harav mentions a slightly different gather of how far around one has to be conserved. There's the Shulchan Aruch Harav, "Mashmir la'odlo v'lachash v'lo yashmir koilo," or doesn't quietly, not to raise the voice, So that one's voice is not heard. So people who are standing outside your Daladamus, your voice wouldn't be heard. It sounds like he's saying that, however, to people who are standing very close to you, even within your Daladamus, if your voice is heard, it doesn't matter. So it should be quiet outside the Daladamus. They can't hear, but if within the Daladamus they can hear,
it's
not the end of the world. Okay, another practical point over here. What about people who are hard of hearing?
What was that?
People who are hard of hearing, yeah. So, this is discussed. It's a slightly more unusual source. It's one of the early postkin, but his paper was only published recently.
When if your neighbors are hard of hearing, and you can scream as loud as you want?
That's alright. What about the person who's hard of hearing? So he needs to scream loud. So thirdly, Chavis Yoyer, the first time, then come to Oslo Mishmoy. If a person is hard of hearing, come here to the world, be Eshela Shmiel Oslo, LNK, Yashmiel, Kodo, Yashabere, Hoimid, Edslo. Unless one's going to raise one's voice to an extent, so the next, your neighbor's also going to hear you, because if you do it more quietly than that, you yourself can't hear. Komboni Hayor, says, like me myself, right, the Chavis of this paper, the Chavis Yoyer, like I myself, he was hard of hearing. I mean, say to Aram, like people who were really old when he wrote this statement, he can't commit to one. Show you the Horeb Kodo, you can shield Zesh of Mavishu. It is permitted for him to raise his voice to the extent that he himself can hear the Kat, the Hakti, and this is why I was talking to
him. You
mean to disturb others? Are they suggesting that? He
doesn't
discuss it. It sounds like it.
Yeah.
So maybe it's understood that in the average scenario, he's not going to have to. It doesn't talk about it, it doesn't say that the guy is almost dead. Come to Oslo Mishmaya. He can't hear so great. So probably we're not discussing that he needs to scream his head off in order that he himself can hear. To raise his voice a little more than perhaps one usually. Okay, one final interesting detail in these halachas. Another scenario which is mentioned where it is permitted to raise one voice. In these halachas, the Rambam brings, it's based on a Yerushalmi, the imashmiya koilo is the beifa. If one is davening at home, be a chidus. So we said that when davening at home, be a chidus, it's permitted to raise one's voice if it's for purposes of facilitating better kavon. It's hard for you to be metavon when you're davening. Fine, if you want to raise your voice a little. So if you're at home, you'll be a chidus, you're not disturbing anybody else, then it's permitted. There's another situation. Imashmiya koilo be beifa kshem is palos. If one wishes to raise one's voice when davening at home, in order that Ibn Abayis will learn the Tefillah. Let's say you have little children, boys are 7 or 8 or something, about the time they need to start learning to daven the Shemoneh Esrei. So you want to daven with them. Well, that's what happens to be davening at home. So there's no issue of being disturbing the Tzibur, because there's no Tzibur you're at home. But this is not for purposes of facilitating Kavod. You could be Mechavon yourself without that. You want to do it so that people around you will be able to learn the Lutzah Chatzkele.
But then they'll
come to
learn
to do
Rabbah
on it themselves.
Rabbah always
taught them to learn. So you'll tell them that only at home you can do that. So the Rambam says, Lutzah permitted, you're allowed to do that. So, following these halachas, the type of scenario was asked for a bunch of Feinstein about a place where the people in the shul are not fully acquainted with the Nusach HaTefillah. And what happens in the Quiet Shemoneh Esrei is that, I don't know, maybe the Chazan davens the Quiet Shemoneh Esrei, I don't know how many of the other people do, and most of the people, either they don't know, maybe they just daven the first paragraph and then they talk to their neighbor, or we don't know what they do, they're not able to daven properly. So we're suggesting the idea that maybe during what we would call the quiet Shemoneh Esrei, we should make the quiet Shemoneh Esrei not so quiet. There'll be one person, the cousin or somebody, who will say the Shemoneh Esrei aloud, and everybody will say it along with him quietly, and then they'll be able to daven, these people. Otherwise, the way it is now, they're not davening. So says the Rebbe Feinstein, if Yesh Lachash, if there is a concern, Shemelachash, when the tefillah is silent, lo yomru klal, the tzibur are not going to say the tefillah. The Heli Mishnah covers, and particularly if there is hope that Ajizei, doing this trick, this idea that one person will daven aloud and they will daven alone, in Mishnah covers, if there's any hope that through this, through this, they'll now be able to learn to become acquainted with davening themselves. But if we're going to continue davening silently, they're not going to pay attention and they're not going to daven. Then Yecholim Loimah Gav Bekodron. Then says Rav Moshe Feinstein, we could allow this idea that one person will daven Bekodron so that the other people will become educated to learn the tefillah. It's almost exactly like what the Ramah says, that one, when davening at home, one can do this to educate one's bnei bayit. So over here it wasn't at home, it was in the tibul. But there was no problem of bothering the tibul, because the tibul was davening. It was to educate not one person, it was to educate the whole tibul. Like we say in our time, the Shulchan Aruch, which we learn, she'af v'shvil kavonah v'shvil l'lamid b'nei beitoi, mutar. The Kol Shekin Gan, she can come to their kavonah, this is to facilitate kavonah to them, v'shin is ragu, and that they should come. And gan she yishloch v'shvil yehudu ha'kot. And in addition, they're not going to come without it. She'a mutar v'kol ram. In this situation, it is permitted. U'poshut, she's sorry she yachtal ha'shat v'ha'shem espotay kiftok, the shat should start saying aloud from the topic ha'shem espotay kiftok. And to conclude with the Pasuk Yehudah, we call Rav all aloud. They should every Achron say in order that they should say along with him also these parts of the Tefillah as well. All right, wish you all a good day. I'm glad to be here.